5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Maybe some people are listening in Denver. We listened to us in Denver.
We did.
Fantastic. We're live from the Blake Street Tavern in Denver for the Pepsi Front Range Huddle. The third and is this only the third one?
I feel like I've
done a lot of these.
Well, I think we missed a year with COVID, right? So it's been 4 years.
Tanner Schwint joining me, one of the hosts of Good Morning NoCo, and he set everything up because I don't know anything as far as I plugged it in though. I did plug it into the back of the wall. That was exciting. So,
and your social interactions when you're off air are always fun.
Why?
I just, you know,
are they awkward?
A little.
Well, because I belong in a box. That's where I belong. I'm not supposed to be out and about. I am today. I actually love this event.
It's a lot of
fun. It's so much fun. There is a little drama, though. Colorado State is not here. We've documented that on the program. Normally, it's, you know, this is a CU event, UNC event,
Air Force event.
Of course, Colorado State typically comes to this. I interviewed Steve Adazio right over there. Nobody can see where I'm pointing, but I interviewed him over there. He looked like he was going to rip my face off, and he didn't, thankfully. But they did not come this year. They of course, are citing scheduling conflicts. There was some Twitter drama back in March, but I'm not saying anybody's wrong or right in this situation. We just kind of know what it is. The owner of the Blake Street Tavern, I think, tweeted something negative about the Mountain West Conference in Colorado State.
Absolutely did.
Colorado State, I won't name any names. They weren't too thrilled with the tweet.
Nope.
They did intimate that they might not be here, but that was back in March. And then, of course, scheduling stuff became the issue. So I'm not saying that the scheduling conflicts are the result of them not being here or being here, whatever, but I know what I saw in March, and it was an interesting time in sports land.
Reading between the lines, we know exactly why not. Why CSU isn't down here.
That's you saying that?
That is all me saying that, but you know that, and that's the first thing we heard from a lot of the people that we talked to already.
Certainly a lot of people are asking and talking about it. It is a big discussion down here at the Blake Street Tavern.
Well, and when you look across the state of Colorado, I mean, outside of Air Force, who's got the most hype right now? Well, it's CSU because they got a lot of new and exciting things.
CSU has the most hype right now, I would say. I know this is probably blasphemy, but I think it would be cool to have Wyoming at this event.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be kind of a cool deal. So we know we've got Air Force here. We got CU, Colorado Mines, UNC. We just talked to Ed McCaffrey a moment ago. I think he's going to pop on with us at some point. And then CU head coach Carl Durrell will join us, and we'll talk to him. And you've scheduled all these interviews.
Set them all up, man.
And then they changed as soon as you scheduled them.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it went last year. I love this event because what was hilarious about it, I told Tanner, you're my guy. Help me schedule some things. Tanner went and scheduled everything, and then people would pop up to me, and I'd be like, just pop on right now. And then you bring the coach over and say, let's get this guy on. And then I felt bad because I'm interviewing somebody, and then there's Carl Durrell standing behind them,
right.
And so I felt terrible. So this year, it's all on you. I'm not scheduling anybody.
Good.
You are scheduling all my regular events, and it's great. So from now on, I'm going to have you just do that.
I was going to mess with you a little bit this year and bring a couple of waiters or waitresses over.
And tell me they were somebody important.
Yeah, this is
so-and-so. Well, not that they're not important.
Right.
But not as important as Coach Durrell.
You said that one. I'll stand by what I said.
They're great people.
They are. It's a really fun environment down here. You see a lot of media members that you don't see. Of course, Mark Johnson's going to jump on the program right around 12:30. But the coaches right now, Carl Durrell, Ed McCaffrey, making the TV rounds is how it always works. They grab a little bit of food, go up TV, hit us, and then they're kind of on their way.
They're behind this, so to the right of us, if you've been to the Blake Street Tavern, I don't know my directions in here.
That would be to the
northeast, west, northwest.
I normally north, know
south.
Where I'm at, and
it's in the north-south quadrant. They are like curtains. It doesn't matter.
Southwest.
Curtains are covering them. They're all doing TV stuff right now, and then they're going to pop out and do radio stuff, and then we're going to eat lunch, I think. But we have to be out of here by 1 o'clock today.
Yeah, we got the Rockies Rangers coming up at 1 o'clock. Rockies going for a sweep, 2-game sweep.
I don't care.
I don't either.
Okay, for people that are just like, hey, I hope they can win. Are they still on pace to win 72 games?
Yeah, they're on pace. Last I checked, they were on pace to win 69 games, and the over-under was 68. So you're sweating
But I predicted 72, and that's the real over-under. You predicted
89,
World Series 90, berth or whatever they
games?
Were going to do, and you were all in on this Rockies team. But they do have watch parties down here. And, hey, dude, I don't care if the Rockies are amazing or if they're terrible. It's a cool place to come and watch a game or prep before you go to the game. I mean, you're seeing Rockies fans pouring in here right now. So it is it's a great environment that gets the city for sure. So I think this is a great event because you bring so many of these coaches to a central location. And we can argue all day. We love Northern Colorado. I love Greeley and Fort Collins more than the next guy. But Denver's that hot spot,
right?
And you want to get all these guys together into one spot where you're getting Denver news outlets, not just the radio stations, but you're getting the Denver, you know, the nightly news crews. I mean, we don't have a nightly news in Fort Collins and Greeley, do we?
No, we do not. So. No, and that is the thing about this. It shines a spotlight on the program. You do a great job of getting to, you know, to see you, UNC and CSU, there's no doubt. But to see all these guys interact with each other, too, is always fun to watch. And we're a week away, Brady. I mean, we're a week away from all of these coaches being on the sidelines and getting their team out there for the first time this year.
In some respect, we're like 3 days away because Craig Bohl will take his Wyoming Cowboys. And, again, I don't think anybody's talking Wyoming here, but I sure think that it's worth talking about. I don't know how good they're going to be,
Being
real honest with you.
Well, I heard Cody Tucker yesterday on your program. And, you know, I'm trying to put together my first, my first college football lock. And they are 10.5-point underdogs against Illinois on Saturday. So I say take the under. I think that's the first lock.
Yeah, but then Cody reversed that and said take the – he said 27-21. So I'm scared of all of the things that I thought I knew. But that's how football season is. We think we have an idea. Wyoming is typically underrated, and then they turn out to do something pretty good. They have a really good running back, but injuries have taken hold the last week for them. And I know we won't spend our time talking a lot of Wyoming. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day I thought would be fitting because I've already done one about UNC. They can't go to bowl games. So will the Colorado Buffaloes reach a bowl game this year? Last year they won four. If my math is correct, Tanner, they need to win two more games than last year.
That
carry the four,
out.
Divide a few things, next thing you know, bam, six games. Can they win six? And this is a very interesting year in the Pac-12 because we know what's going on with UCLA. We know what's going on with USC. You want your Pac-12 teams to absolutely shine, regardless if you're, you know, Buffs fan or not. You want Pac-12 teams to be rolling. So this is a very, very significant season for all Pac-12 teams that are not exiting after the season.
See, and I think the answer to your question lies within something you talked about with Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffs, a couple of weeks ago when you said, give me some reasons to be excited about CU. When you have to ask that question, you know, chances are probably not great for this year.
Yeah.
And they open it up against TCU on a Friday night. What are your thoughts on Friday night college games? I don't necessarily love the Friday night college games, but they're opening it up next Friday against TCU at Folsom.
I don't mind Friday night college games because it does. I'm a big-time college football fan, and Friday nights, it's kind of like you can pick one game to choose from. And I have a kiddo now, so we're all over the place. So when I can sit down on a Friday night and just break into one game locally that I'm interested in, I don't mind it. I get the argument, though, that it takes away
from
the prep scene, especially when it's a CU, CSU, UNC, although they're not going to play at home because they don't have the light situation.
Not yet.
So not yet, which I don't know. Stay tuned. Maybe we'll talk to Coach about that.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it personally. However, I get it if I have a kid that's playing high school football and then we got a break and I don't get to watch one of these local teams play. It does hurt both sides in a way. But selfishly, me sitting at home in my onesie Friday night with a couple of brewskis, I don't
There's
mind.
Visual.
I know. It's a weird onesie. It's not a footy one, though. There are no socks or anything.
So first two games for CU, I mean, there are 10.5-point underdogs to TCU to start the year.
Yeah.
Then they're going to, I would have to imagine, be about 10.5-point underdogs
I don't
to
know
Air
if
Force,
it'll be
right?
10.5, but I'm guessing they're going to be underdogs.
They've got to be. I mean, that style of football that Air Force does. We were talking with Kevin Lytle on Good Morning NOCO about this yesterday. It's so simplistic, and yet it's so difficult to stop.
Simplistic, yeah, that triple option, man. I mean, again, you just don't prepare for it throughout the course of your regular seasons against many teams. And this system that Troy Calhoun has built with Air Force, you can plug in offensive linemen that just buy into the system and what you're doing. However, for Air Force, they're returning four of those starters, including Everett Smalley, the left tackle, who is on the awards watch list. Brad Roberts, who set an Air Force record for rushing yards as a fullback with a little over 1,300 yards last year. So this is a tough team to play against. And just when you think they've ran it like 90 times in a row, they throw it.
Right.
And then you're just, like, oh, Ezekiel Daniels is actually a pretty decent quarterback, but he only throws it twice a game. So
yeah.
It's interesting.
So CU, you know, talking about that, about the bowl game, they're not favored in a game until October 15th.
Who's that against?
Against Cal.
Ah.
And they're slightly favored in that one. So Arizona, they're underdogs. And UCLA, they're underdogs. Minnesota, they're underdogs. Air Force, TCU, they're all underdogs. So first five games, CU's going to have to pull off a couple of upsets if they're going to be bowl eligible by the end of the year. And even in the Cal game, they're, according to the ESPN Power Football Index, they're very, very small favorites in that one.
Yeah.
So ESPN and the national rankings don't have a lot of hope for CU this year. Now, obviously, hopefully they're wrong, but I would go no, Brady. I would say no, that I don't think CU is going to be a bowl team this year, but that's why you play the games.
Yeah, and you really root for Carl Durrell, too, because that first season, it was the COVID year. He was the Pac-12 coach of the year. Now, again, in fairness, they only played, five games or something like that.
But the situation and they didn't, was handed.
And the situation was handed, but they didn't play like the rougher portion of that Pac-12 schedule either. So that was maybe a little fool's gold, a little bit.
And it's hard not to cheer for Carl Durrell.
He's
outside of him pushing the cameraman that jumps.
I can't even picture him doing that now. And I saw it happen. I know what I saw, but I'm a pretty nice guy. I can get you've seen me mad once or twice.
Right.
I might, in the heat of the moment, push a camera guy around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially in the heat of the halftime,
yeah,
right in the locker room,
and the camera's like
all
stuffed
up in
your face.
Yeah.
And I'm not even gonna. I don't even really fault the guy for that. I'm not gonna beat him up over that one. But I do love. I really am a big fan of Carl Durrell. He is, as Mark Johnson always tells me, like, he's Steady Eddie, man. This guy.
Yeah.
I just picture him. You know, everything he does is crisp, it's on time, it's precise, which I guess is most college football coaches. But I do think that I root for Carl Durrell. I don't know if I root for him necessarily more than anybody else in this state, but when you sit down and talk to him, you can't help but just fall in love with the dude.
No, that's exactly right. To go a little bit further, too, about their schedule this year, they are favored in one game, Brady. That is it.
Who are they favored against? Is that the Cal game?
That's the Cal game.
Oh, you already said that.
But they go to Cal. Let's see here. So that's the one game, a home game against Cal, on the road against Oregon State, at home against Arizona State. They're not even favored in that one. Then at home against number 11, Oregon, on the road against number 14, USC, on the road against Washington, and then at home against number 7, Utah.
Got them right where they want them. That's what I mean. They're an underdog in every game. So I don't, again, at the end of the day, CU's going to have to pull off some upsets. They're going to have to do something miraculous. And what's going on over there? There's like a huddle going on. Are we good?
Well, it is the Pepsi Front Range huddle.
Oh, there is. It is the Front Range huddle. So it does make sense that there would be a huddle. Do you think Troy Calhoun and Carl Durrell will get into any kind of a fight here?
A skirmish?
No, they're two guys that you would never see that happen.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any dust-ups happening.
Don't say that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So what do we have, Tanner, scheduled for the rest of this hour? We're on from 1, normally 11 to 2. But we're getting out for Rockies. They were going to kick us out anyway because they have the watch parties here.
Yeah, so, it's we'll see what happens. That's the schedule for this first hour. Well, I'm looking around. By now, we're supposed to have Carl Durrell. I don't see Coach Durrell.
Somebody's
anywhere
over there doing an interview.
That's Eddie Mack, I believe.
Oh, he pulled off jeans, too. So I wore jeans.
And I went slacks.
I didn't know how professional we should be, but I saw Coach McCaffrey was
wearing
it. Let's
grab a break. I think we'll have Durrell next.
19 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Front Range Huddle from the Blake Street Tavern. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Lego! 25 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Pepsi Front Range Huddle from the Blake Street Tavern. Tanner Schwint is a double duty. I said duty. I knew I was going to get one of those out today. Joining me in the show, on the show today. Thanks for coming down with me, man. I drove okay for you.
Yeah, no, it was great. Okay. Traffic wasn't terrible.
It wasn't too terrible.
And that's the whole goal, is to just not be terrible.
Not
Brady.
Be terrible. All right.
This is like a contest now to see who's going to get done.
So this is what's so tough about this event, is they pop in for TV first, and then as soon as they get done with TV, the coaches start coming out. And I believe you're supposed to have Coach Carl Durrell. We're supposed to have Durrell on next.
Correct.
And then, but then Ed McCaffrey's like right behind him in the lineup. So,
and Ed's talking about how he's
got
to get back for practice.
That's true, because, of course, UNC practices in the afternoon when it's really hot. So we'll be seeing it. I feel like we're getting close to something, though.
Yeah,
Coach Durrell's going to come out here.
The CUSID is just sitting there. He's waiting. He's like, hey, I got you.
They're so good to us out here, though.
They are.
And David Plowdy putting this event on every single year. I absolutely do love it, even with – because, again, we cover – the whole show, we try to cover CSU, CU – UNC specifically. I have dabbled into the Wyoming waters a little bit.
Yes, you have. To the dismay of CSU
fans.
Hooligans.
And I even think me being down here, it's like I feel like I'm turning on them. But I love this event. I think these kind of events are fantastic for building up the sports world and getting these coaches on all of the great networks that are taking hold every single night, whether that's TV, radio, newspapers, you name it. I think the more of that stuff you can do, the better. So, and I know, let me say, Coach Jay Norvell did make the Denver rounds, too, a couple of weeks ago. Or was that last week? And they were hitting all the different stations and all that, too. So it's not like they didn't do that stuff. They're just not doing it here.
Correct, yeah. You know, and that's the thing. And it's up to the individual programs. I mean, how do you want to market yourself? How do you want to do this? And obviously a scheduling conflict is the reason why CSU is not here. And we'll wait and see. What they've gotten. So I'm excited for CSU football. I mean, really, I don't remember a time where I've been more excited. Their style of offense is like everything that I dream of when I think about offense at the college level.
You just dream of offense?
I do. I do sometimes. And just no playbook, you know. I love that because there's no player out there at the college level that's taking time out of their day to go and look at their playbook. I mean, hell, Kyler Murray isn't doing it.
Yeah, he's supposed to.
He's supposed to. Well, but they got rid of that.
Oh, so he doesn't have to.
So he doesn't have to anymore.
Well, that's kind of exciting.
But I like that about CSU. No playbook. You know, we're just going to go out there. We know the plays. We know the audibles. A lot of faith in their, you know, their freshman, their first year quarterback.
Do we want to break now?
Let's do it.
Okay, 20.
I'll just shut up. That was Brady's nice way of, Tanner, would you shut the hell up about playbooks, man?
When we're on remote, there's no, I'm not subtle anymore. I just flat out say, hey, here's the clock. All right, we're going to take a quick break. 28 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour.
I'm
going to
go
show.
Bully the TV people.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
I'm just going to pull Durrell out of there and say, listen, man.
Okay. Yeah, just don't. Get us in any trouble again.
I'll do my best.
All right, we'll be right back. We're live from the Pepsi Front Range Huddle from the Blake Street Tavern. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town.
32 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show live from the Pepsi Front Range Huddle located at the Blake Street Tavern. We're getting excited for the Rockies game here, man. There's people in Rockies gear. I didn't think that was – is that still going on?
It is.
Season's still happening.
I've still got my, you know, $50 wager that they'll make the playoffs. How do you think that's going to work
out
for me?
That's gone, man. Can you cash that out for like 25 cents?
No. As soon as I place it, they're like, hey, I got a sucker here.
You got one. I do think we're going to get to see you, head coach Carl Durrell, here in just a moment.
Allegedly.
I still haven't seen him come out of that TV tent thing that they've got going.
Listen, I did my best, okay?
All right, so let's look at the CU Buffs just a little bit. Obviously, the big thing, who's going to be the starting quarterback for this team? Is it Brendan Lewis, who had his struggles last year? Did play better at the end of the season last year. JT Schrout, that was a quarterback competition, just like we're seeing right now for the Buffs. But JT Schrout gets hurt. We didn't know if it was going to be for the season ultimately, but then it was. So now you're back in this position where you're dissecting both of these quarterbacks, and there's a lot of holes to fill for the Buffs, certainly. Jarek Broussard, the stud running back, he decided to head over play football with his old coach, Mel Tucker, at Michigan State.
And that's one that's it's hard to fault the guy, right? Because
he's got one more year
left. That's a clear step up. You know, I'm assuming he came here because of Mel, right? I don't recall if he was coming in with that Mel's recruiting class.
He might have been there the year before Mel, because Mel was only there for a year.
But here's the thing. I mean, you get a chance to go, and nothing against CU, but you get a chance to go play for Michigan State, who's going to be in the top 25,
right.
And you're seeing what Mel's doing over there. It's hard to fault him on that, Brady, but that quarterback position, like you talked about, that's going to be key because this CU offense struggled last year, and they struggled mightily.
Yeah.
There was a couple games at halftime you're like, wait, how many yards do they have overall?
Yeah.
And, the defense did okay, but how is that offense going to step up?
Yeah, Buff's got a new offensive coordinator in Mike Sanford, a new wide receiver coach in Phil McGogan, and then their running back coach, Darian Hagan, who's had a couple of different stints with the Buffs, and in those stints, he's coached guys like Philip Lindsay, Trayvon McMillan, and Jarek Broussard. So you got to wonder how much has Darian Hagan's influence impacted these running backs. Alex Fontenot, probably the starting running back for CU, he was kind of going to be the guy, and then I think he got banged up a little bit, and then Jarek Broussard took over. So this is a guy that's wanting to kind of reestablish himself as a star, as a starting running back in the Pac-12. So there's a lot of interesting things to see how this thing's going.
It looks like Ed McCaffrey's going to be our first coach.
Are we flipping the script here?
We're flipping it. This is what I said when I said that wasn't sure exactly who was going to be able to win this race first. I think Carl Durrell's right on his heels. But let's grab Coach McCaffrey right now and throw him on the air with us.
Coach, we're over here. We're right here.
There you go,
UNC
Coach.
UNC head football coach
McCaffrey
jumping on with us. Coach, it's good to see you, man.
I love a Coors Light and the famous nachos.
We ordered ours like 3 hours ago.
I'm sorry. I thought I was.
Again, not that mistake again. Yeah. That happens far too much, man. Coach, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
How's the TV crews treating you in there?
Oh, it's awesome. It's cooler over here, though. You got some AC going on, man.
Yeah, you got all the lights.
Lights are getting hot.
Yeah. No.
Like a rotisserie chicken over there.
Coach, how's practice going? I know you guys are going to get back pretty soon because you got practice right around the corner
today. Camp went great. You know, it really goes back to last winter. I thought we had a great winter conditioning, great spring ball, phenomenal summer workout program, and guys came in more prepared this year to fall camp. And I think it showed more confidence, more excitement. Got a lot of guys that want to be here, that love being Bears, that are sharing in that sacrifice. And that want to be great. So a lot more excitement. It's been a lot more fun for me, right, being in person and not getting kicked off campus and having guys that want to be here that are working their tails off. So I'm really, really proud of this year's team, and we're excited to play somebody else. You know, school started this week, so that's the whole camp to school to football thing, get adjusted this week, and then get ready to go.
Do you feel like, again, and I've talked to you about this, Coach, but, man, when you started with this Bears team, I mean, it was a whirlwind of things going on. And we've talked about that. We've outlined that. But do you feel like maybe for the first time since becoming the head coach of the Bears that it's like, okay, we got our schedule exact. We're not getting shaken off of that. We're not getting kicked off campus for COVID and all that. Do you feel like this is the first time you can really set your feet down?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm in. You know, it's an amazing experience. I go through life, and it's just everything's an experience.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or ugly, it's still an experience. And we went through all of that last year, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, we started up. You're booted off campus. Fall season canceled. Spring season canceled. Multiple school closures and booted off campus. Couldn't be in person wearing masks. I mean, and that's my first year. I'm like, okay, welcome global pandemic, and then transfer portal rules, then the NIL legislation. I'm like, you know what? I'm a doctor. I got my doctorate in coaching. And it's like in my first year, but you know what? It is what it is. I mean, college football's changed forever. It's kind of really cool that I got to experience the change in college football in my first year. It was unreal. And then, you know, hopefully we never deal with anything like we did last year in terms of, you know, after week three, lost 25% of our team and coaching staff. A couple of our coaches never came back from last year.
Yeah.
And it's hard to coach without your coaches, and it's hard to coach when players are getting yanked off the bus every Friday before games. And so we didn't live up to our expectations. We wanted to compete and get to the playoffs and win a Big Sky championship, but it wasn't in the cards last year. You know. But I'm so proud of the guys this year, the new players and the players that are returning, for just how hard they've worked. And we have been in person in the spring, and we were in person in the summer, and we came in with so much more confidence and excitement into this fall camp. It's Sure. And so I'm hoping that pays dividends. There's no guarantees. You got to go out and play ball and make plays, right? But it's been so much more fun to coach. And this is what I thought I signed up for
right.
when I took the job.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for a global pandemic.
No.
I did the best I could under the circumstances. I didn't know about portal rules at the time. I didn't know that they were going to change those rules and didn't know that NIL was going to be a thing. And it all happened, and we all adjusted and adapted the best we could. But now we've settled in, and we got a team that I'm really proud of that's excited to play football.
Well, Coach, I remember back at one of the spring press conferences that you had when you were introducing your coaching staff, and the pedigree up there is just outstanding. I don't think there's a Big Sky coaching staff with that type of pedigree. How is it all meshing together? I mean, how are the new additions meshing with the old? You know, obviously some experience, some growing pains last year. How is your coaching staff meshing together?
Got a phenomenal staff. These guys work their tails off. I mean, going back to last year when we had to recruit an entire class sight unseen. We couldn't visit high schools. We couldn't meet with players in person. Couldn't go to their games. It was pretty miserable in terms of our inability to make contact with the players that we were recruiting into our program. So we had to watch a lot of video, make a lot of phone calls, vet players. And, you know, we brought in a lot of wonderful players. But it took thousands of hours. I mean, you're talking thousands of collective hours in recruiting. These guys work their tails off. They're really, really good football coaches, and I think that showed on the field at times last year. And then, you know, given the adversity that we had and the lineup changes and
right.
losing players, it just makes it so much harder to continually adapt and change from week to week to week. So hopefully we have more consistency this year. But we have excellent coaches, and really that's why most players decide to enroll at UNC to play
right.
football. They love our coaching staff. They meet with them in person. They get to know them. They understand what wonderful football coaches they are, but also what caring football coaches they are. They really care about the players they coach, and they want the best for them.
I mean, that just goes such a long way, too. You talk about a guy like David Hogue, right? I mean, we're seeing all of the preseason, you know, honors that are already getting there. How excited are you as a coach to know that guy's on my team, because you wouldn't want to be trying to game plan against him?
Yeah, preseason All-American, had a breakout year last season, has turned into an incredible leader on our team, a vocal leader, a leader in the weight room, and the best teams are player-led, and he's turned into that for us. So he's been a phenomenal player, phenomenal chef, too.
What was the rating there? Was that 2 weeks ago? You guys had the big
yeah.
dinner. He prepared that for you guys?
Well, he went over to France and studied abroad and brought some of his cooking techniques that he learned back with him, and him and Cassidy Woods had a little kickoff.
Was kind of his assistant for this thing?
No.
They
were competing. He cooked his own meal.
I
yeah.
love that, man.
Yeah.
Whose was better? Who won?
I think it's a draw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to pick.
Can you tell me off air who really won?
No, it was pretty much a draw.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
But I talked to all of our coaches about it and asked their opinion and all of our players, and they both athletes, both Cassidy and David, got rave reviews. And I'm hoping that when, you know, many years from now, when David's done playing football, he's got a restaurant somewhere here in Colorado. We can all go sharing a meal.
Yeah, well, and how important, like, I love that kind of stuff, Coach. I saw you conducting the band the other day, too.
Yeah.
I mean, getting into all these kind of extracurricular stuff where it's, hey, we're going to get together. We're supporting David's dreams of being a chef, so we're going to sit down and do something fun there. I'm going to get out with the cheer staff and get into the band and have fun there. How important is that to you in just building that buzz around the program? Because we know the X's and O's, we're talking about that on a daily basis, but all the other stuff that goes to it.
It's also important for college football. You mentioned the band. I mean, football doesn't feel like football without a band. Even in the NFL, it's the thing I miss the most is the band. And our band does a phenomenal job. They're all around town doing Friday Fest and playing around campus, and they do a great job. And so we wanted to go out and support them, hand out some popsicles, and conduct the band. And I got to do it on my birthday, which was kind of cool.
And they can't tell you were bad either, because it was your birthday. So
well,
it was the perfect time to do it.
It was pretty bad. I was taking instructions. But it was like, not quite my tempo. You dragging or you rushing? That's the only line I knew from Whiplash. But that was a lot of fun. But, yeah, I've been having breakfasts and lunch. And, you know, I'm trying to build a program here. You can't do it by yourself. It's more than coaches. It's more than players. It's the support of your university. It's the support of your alumni. It's donors. It's our Greeley community. It's going to take everyone to build this. We want to compete with Montana, with Montana State. You know, we want to win a Big Sky championship. You don't snap your fingers and do that. It takes everybody to come in here and help support the program and build it. And so I think my biggest role, in addition to being, you know, the head football coach and coaching our coaches and getting our guys ready to play, is reaching out to everybody that wants to support this program and getting them involved. You know, I've been spending a lot of time doing that over the last year, throughout the summer, and even today. Like every day, it's about getting people involved and engaged to support the program.
Coach, earlier in the week, of course, the sad news about Kay Dalton. I had a chance to meet him when I first started at UNC, believe it or not. I was writing for the UNC Mirror, and it was kind of during that transition period of going into Division I FCS football. And he outlined everything for me. He was so gracious on that. But I just go back to thinking, man, he was a part of some really great football programs and was a part of that big legacy right after I got to UNC. And I know you shared a very nice sentiment on Twitter as well, but just kind of wanted to talk about what that meant to you and then looking forward saying how can we continue to build off of that legacy?
Yeah, he was a UNC legend, and he was a coach's coach. He coached at so many different places and meant so much to UNC and to Colorado. And his web of connections and people that he influenced was vast. Yeah. I mean, so many connections with the Broncos and with UNC and with the sport of football. And he influenced so many people, and it meant so much to our university. So prayers to his family, and he will forever be remembered.
Yeah,
Coach, can't wait to see you guys out there on the field this year. Really excited about it. Excited to see what you guys got in store for us. I think it's going to be a great year, man. We're cheering for you. We're excited about it.
Go Bears, baby.
Right, thanks.
Coach, appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you soon, okay?
Thank you.
There's UNC head football coach Ed McCaffrey. Talking all things UNC Bears. So are we taking a break
let's
here?
A quick break.
44 minutes after the 11 o'clock
it's your
hour.
Show, man.
I don't know anymore. It's Coach's show there for a moment. Pepsi Front Range Huddle live from the Blake Street Tavern. Colfax a Million is here, too. My old producer's hanging out. This is his neck of the woods now. All right, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
11:48 the time. Welcome back in to the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Pepsi Front Range Huddle at the Blake Street Tavern. Joining us now, CU Buffs head coach Carl Durrell. Coach, great to see you again. Always love when we can get together with you, get on the program. But thanks for being out here. I just love this event.
Yeah, I appreciate being out as well. Just kind of get a break from campus. And, you know, there's excitement in the air about the season and the start of it. And so it's a good kind of prelude to what's going to happen in about a week's time.
This is always that, to me, like the best time of the year because we're getting into the previews. We're doing the media junkets. We're getting everybody together, and we're building up that excitement. Is that kind of how you feel? Looking at that clean slate?
It is. We had our kickoff luncheon a week ago, matter of fact, on Friday. So I think it was kind of the similar type of feeling even around there with our donors and boosters there and people there in Boulder in our community. So there's some excitement in the air for sure.
How do you keep the reins held back? Because I know you got to be ready to roll, right? You got to be ready for that first game to be here. How do you hold those reins back and you know, keep that anticipation from boiling over?
Well, the reins is really, it's more of a strategic action right now. You know, obviously there's no one that has the reins right now because of the guys that are competing for that job. But we feel like we're in really good shape, though. It's a good problem to have than actually a poor decision to have. It's one of those things that if you guys are watching our practices and you watch them both perform and you see how both, you know, everybody offensively believes in both of these guys, you know, they can care less who the guy is because they think that they can win with either one of them.
Right.
So that's kind of why we have a comfort level, even though we haven't made a decision today, that we feel like is going to work out really, really well.
Quarterback battle, of course, between Brendan Lewis, J.T. Shrine. And you're not breaking that story with us today.
I thought I'd lead off with a little bit of that, knowing that that's going to come up at some point.
I told you I was going to try to get creative in how we asked that question, but there's really no creative way to do it. But I do like the fact that, you know, we were talking about this off the air a bit. These guys were competing like crazy last year, and then, of course, unfortunately, J.T. Shrout goes down. Was it encouraging for you to see that quarterback competition just pick right back up? That means both guys are ready to duke it out.
I was, and I am, because, you know, Brendan Lewis, I'm just so proud of that kid, of where he was and what he did for us a year ago. You know, he played his best football at the end of that last month in November. Matter of fact, our team did, and he did particularly. I thought he was really starting to season in and play better and understand the position a little bit better. So he came back in the offseason and talked with me and says, Coach, what do I need to work on? I said, first of all, go watch every one of your games from start to finish. You make notes about some things that you did wrong or right, or things that kind of hit you as you watch. So he came back after watching the season back with me, and he had a bunch of, and he had his whole, it was like pages of notes and stuff that he looked at. And I wanted him to kind of make that self-evaluation of what he thought he should have been able to do. And he had a lot of things that was just dead on. So he understood a lot after looking at it, had a great offseason. He's a much complete player now than I thought, you know, anyone would ever think he would get to at this point in time. Now, with JT's a different argument, right, because he's coming off an injury. Sure. He's got to feel confident about, all right, I'm the guy, but I need to kind of pass some steps here. I got to check some boxes here to make sure that I am really the guy. So can I elude the pass rush and get, you know, escape out of the pocket? Checks that box. If he can run some of the RPO systems, like with the quarterback potentially running the football, check that box. He's been able to do all these things that I think he's overcome in camp that has give now his confidence is out the roof. It's kind of out the roof because he was concerned about whether he could compete and do those things that he naturally was able to do a year ago.
Was that kind of a milestone for him?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to get over that hump, that first scrimmage playing, knowing, hey, this was almost a year ago, on almost to the day when he got hurt. Was that a mental thing that he had to get over, and then once you saw him get over that, it was like this big sigh of relief?
Absolutely. And his teammates reminded him of that.
Mm.
You know, guys on defense would say, hey, JT, didn't you get hurt a year ago right here this day? I mean, they're just trying to get in his head.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah. And he, like you said, he checks that box. He has a good performance. He checks that box. And so those things are really, I think, really, like you said, milestones that help a player's confidence and that he's ready to play.
Yeah,
and I think both of those guys, in their own unique ways, are ready to play.
Well, and we're talking just a little over a week before your first game, right, as we sit here. And when you're not making the announcement today, but when can we expect an announcement for who the quarterback is going to be opening up against TCU?
It's probably by the weekend,
yeah.
I would say. You know, but we got a couple practices. Our players had meetings today. They're off today. And so we're going to have a good practice on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. So we're going to probably do it towards Saturday.
So a quick follow-up to that, you talk a lot about a football program and the noise and kind of canceling out the noise, whether it be conference realignments, whether it be transfer portal, all that. What's been your message to your team this year to try and, you know, at least limit that noise, that outside noise from penetrating your program?
Well, part of the noise I want in the program, particularly the ones that have us last in the conference.
Yeah.
So I want to hear that, yeah, because that should motivate us about practice and everything we do on a daily basis. So there's some noise that I think is good, that you want to be kind of have that chip on your shoulder about fighting and proving and earning that respect. The other part of the noise I would say is they've done a great job of eliminating. Conference realignment, I have nothing to do with that.
Right.
Right. So I don't have to spend much time talking about that because, you know, we coach football and I'm coaching you guys and we got a season to play, and, you know, that realignment's not going to happen until 2024 anyway. So it was like,
right,
we got a couple years here. I may not even be alive after this year. Who knows?
You keep having quarterback battles, Coach. It's going to keep aging you, man.
Yeah. So right now, I said, that's way down the line. I don't have any control over that. But what we can control is what's going on right now. The start of this season, what we're doing in our preparation, and then proven to our the people out there that we're a better team than what people are saying.
What is that message like to Coach? We won't keep you much longer, but when you do look at those media polls and everything and you say, hey, it's motivation, but what is that message like? Are you guys constantly talking about it, or is it something where you mentioned it, now we're moving on, we're going to go prove some people wrong?
It's more the latter, what you just said. So we talked about it. Matter of fact, I came back from Pac-12 Media Days just saying, hey, this is what it was, mm-hmm, and this is what their expectations were for us. And, you know, we kind of scoffed at it, and then we went right back to work. You know, so they know it. You know, everybody's on social media, so everybody knows it. So it's not like it's hidden from anybody in our program. But, you know, I wanted them to have, you know, I didn't say it every day this camp, but I did say it probably once or twice a week about the expectations and the respect and all the things that, you know, we got to, how do we get ourselves relevant again? How do we get ourselves in contention? How do we gain respect? Well, all that starts with, at the end of a game, if you win it, that opponent saying that, you know what, you guys got a heck of a football team.
Yeah.
I said, we're going to have that type of steps of progress every week this week, and just take it a week at a time, maximizing our chances of being successful and then proving ourselves along the way.
So Troy Calhoun's down here. You guys got him week two. Did you have a spy out there trying to get some inside information from him, Coach?
No.
None of that?
You know, Troy's he's a quality man and a stand-up guy, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, and he's done such a great job down there. I mean, I was joking about we were at a fundraising event, because he's been down at Air Force for 16 years now, and I said, well, shoot, I'm hoping I'm in Colorado for 16 years, and I don't know if I'm going to make that feat, but he's just done such a great job in his tenure there that, you know, he's why he's one of the best in our country.
Yeah. Coach, we're looking forward to the kickoff to this season. You guys squaring off. We'll get to see it on primetime, too, against TCU on ESPN. So we're very excited about that. And we just wish you the best of luck. Let's try to catch up again. And if you do want to break that news, you have my number.
Well, we'll have a special
maybe
program.
By the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have a special program. You just let us know when you're ready to go. All right, Coach?
We'll make it happen, Coach.
Appreciate you,
man.
You
good luck this season.
Good luck,
Thanks
man.
Thanks for having me
Thank
on.
You very much.
TCU Buffs head football coach Carl Durrell didn't give us that breaking news. I didn't think he would, to be honest. I was really.
Hey, you got to
shoot your shot and see what happens.
Yes, you
and,
do.
And there you go. But you can't help but just love the guy. Man.
Right.
I mean, Carl Durrell is a great dude.
Well, what he just said right there, right? When you talk about Tad Boyle, right, with the CU Buffs and the basketball program, he's been there. He's just a Colorado staple. He just said, listen, I want to be here for the 16 years that Troy Calhoun's been down at Air Force.
No doubt. You want
that from your football coaches, and it's something we haven't seen in Colorado in a long time.
No doubt about it. 11:57, the time we're out here for another hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Pepsi Front Range Huddle at the Blake Street Tavern in Denver. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.